Today we celebrate a joyful feast in honor of the most blessed sacrament. You know, there are seven sacraments and they're all blessed, they're all extraordinary gifts. But one of the seven we refer to as the most blessed sacrament. That's the Eucharist. So today is the feast day of the Eucharist, the feast day of the most holy body and blood of Christ, or to use the common name for this feast, Corpus Christi, a Latin term that means body of Christ, Corpus Christi. It's a very beautiful feast, a very rich feast, really inexhaustible in its depths. One way we can begin to reflect on it is to see it in the context of the many feasts we have had in the past few weeks. I love how the church put these in order, and maybe many people don't notice this because they're spread out over the course of the month, and a lot of things happen in a month. I mean, after all, we have a full life and a busy life, and we get on with our day-to-day living. But let me just remind you what we have celebrated over the past few weeks. 3 weeks ago, if you remember, we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord into heaven. We went up to heaven with Jesus. And then 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the descent of the Holy Spirit from heaven, Pentecost. Heaven came down to us. And then last week, it was the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. It was also our fiesta, but it was Feast of the Holy Trinity. And we went back up to heaven to be immersed in the very inner life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then today, always in the week after the Most Holy Trinity, we celebrate again God coming down to us and making himself present here on earth in the form of bread and wine. In the Eucharist, heaven and earth meet and remain united. So you see this ascending and descending dynamic. It's a wonderful thing to notice and to reflect on. We're being drawn into this grand interplay between heaven and earth, a kind of give and take, a dialogue, eternal dialogue between heaven and earth, a kind of conversation between God and man. We often forget this. We don't notice it. We get caught up in the earthly part of our life, which seems to us like the real part or the more pressing part. And we forget about the heavenly part. That's why it's good to come to Mass every Sunday, to be reminded, oh, there's more to life than just going to work and keeping our houses dry in the rain. There's a lot more. The heavenly part. So we get caught up in the earthly part. We're only human, we say, and so we focus on naturally, what's human, our homes and our jobs and our families and our daily activities. Okay, but God doesn't forget. We might forget him, but he doesn't forget us. He doesn't stay far off in heaven, in the mysterious world of the Trinity. He's not just waiting around for us to come up to him. He comes down to us. He comes down to be with us, to join us in our daily life, and in order to draw us up into union with him. Union with him forever. Now, the center of this conversation, this meeting point between heaven and earth, is Jesus Christ. We should all know that. He's the center because he's both God and man. He's both from heaven and from earth. He's the Word of the Father, eternally begotten of the Father, and he's also the Son of Mary. He's the divine Word, yes, but the Word became flesh. He took on our human nature. Okay, so once we recall this constant communication, or maybe I should use the word communion, today of all days I should talk about Holy Communion. Once we realize we're in this Holy Communion between God and us, which is established in our Lord Jesus Christ, now we can get to today's feast, Corpus Christi. Because what we're celebrating today is not a what, not just a mystery, but a who. We're celebrating a who. We're celebrating Jesus Christ himself. The Eucharist is Jesus Christ. Not only a symbol of Jesus Christ, which is what the Protestants believe if they think about this at all. They think that the bread is a symbol of of Jesus Christ. That's not what we believe. We believe this is Jesus Christ. It's the real presence of Jesus Christ. It's his real living body, blood, soul, and divinity. Everything that Jesus has said, everything that he's done, his whole passion, death, and resurrection, the whole work of saving us, everything he is in glory in heaven, it's all contained here in the Eucharist. It's extraordinary, extraordinary, much bigger than we can absorb in one feast day. But not too big for God. He puts the whole mystery in one small package in the form of bread and wine. That's why the church proclaims the Eucharist is the source and the summit of the whole Christian life. The source, the origin, and the summit, the height of the Christian life. Something to reflect on. You know, if you ask anybody what's the source of the Christian life, they might say, well, God is the source of the Christian life. Or they might say Jesus is the source of the Christian life. Or they might say love is the source of the Christian life. That'd all be right, it'd be true. Or some people might say the Bible. The Bible is the only source we have, which is not exactly true. But the church says it's the Eucharist. The Eucharist, because the Eucharist is God. The Eucharist is Jesus. The Eucharist is love. It's everything. Source and summit of the Christian life. All right here. Right here in the Corpus Christi. Now, for sure, people just don't know this. It's almost like it's a secret to people, or they don't realize it, or it just has not sunk in for some reason. But that's why we need this feast. That's why we all need this feast. We all need to be reawakened to the amazing wonder of the Eucharist. We need to be moved more deeply to gratitude, to praise, to thanksgiving, and to proclaiming what we've got here. Who is here with us? God is right here with us in the Eucharist. It's strange that we keep missing this. This is one of the most fundamental truths of the Catholic faith. How can we miss it? Every time we come to Mass, and we come to Mass every Sunday, every time we come to Mass, the priest holds up this Eucharist, this mystery of God present in the form of bread. He holds up this Eucharistic host and he says, behold, like look, like here it is, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one. Here he is. Behold him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. The supper of the Lamb is where we are right now in the Mass. It's the supper of the Lamb. The priest doesn't say, behold a symbol of the Lamb. No, he says, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And then we acknowledge right away, we're not worthy to receive him. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. It's true. We don't say, I'm not worthy to receive a symbol of you, Lord. We say, I'm not worthy to receive you. Let's reflect a little bit on this act of receiving the Lord into our life. Okay, this is really fundamental. Our religion is not just about doctrines that we believe or rituals that we perform. It's built on God coming into our lives, coming to us personally, and us welcoming him, receiving him, living with him. Now, we know that to welcome the Lord into our lives, into our hearts, is the response of faith. Faith. And sometimes people will say, well, if the heart of this dynamic is faith, well, then why are you going on and on about the Eucharist? As if it's a distraction from faith. No. The faith and the Eucharist are not two separate things. They go together. We can be sure of this because of what Jesus himself says in today's gospel. Yes, he calls us to believe in him. That's his constant call. But he never limits faith to a purely spiritual act, as if it's simply something that we do interiorly and it doesn't have any concrete or physical expression. Yes, faith expresses itself in love, but faith is also, and Jesus stresses this so much in this gospel, for faith there has to be a physical encounter with him, a physical encounter with him. And to put it bluntly, we must eat him. We must eat God. We must eat Jesus. Now I know everybody says, that sounds so weird. That's just a weird thing to say, that to eat God. You can't just go around eating people. It's just such a weird thing to say. But listen again, and that's why a lot of people, many people, just assume that the Eucharist is a symbol, because we can eat a symbol. That's not hard. That's not challenging. You can eat a symbol all day long. But to eat Jesus' body and blood? No. That's why people say it must be symbolic. It's not symbolic. Listen to what Jesus says right here. This is today's gospel, John chapter 6. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. I am bread. So Jesus equates himself with bread, living bread, bread that's alive, and the bread, he says, is his flesh. Jesus, living bread, his flesh. It's all the same thing. He says it right here. Now, the Jews quarreled among themselves, says here in the gospel, and they ask this question: how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That's a darn good question. How can he give us his flesh to eat? I mean, he's alive for one thing. That would be just impossible to think of. And then even after he dies, it would be repulsive. And for us, it's even more mysterious than it would be for the Jews, because we know Jesus is not dead, he is alive, and he is glorified. His flesh is glorified flesh in heaven. How can he give us glorified flesh to eat? And Jesus doesn't answer the question in this gospel. We know, if we know the tradition of the church at all, we know that he has made it possible for us to eat his flesh by instituting this sacrament. It's a sacrament by which he gives us his body and blood. He changes ordinary bread and wine into his body and blood. It's a complete change from one thing into another, even though the appearances do not change at all. This is at the very heart of the Eucharist. A complete change from bread and wine to body and blood, but no change in the appearances. This is what we call transubstantiation, the change from one thing into another. It's very important to know it, because, you know, we ourselves are being changed from one thing into another. We're being transformed ourselves whenever we receive the Eucharist. Okay, now Jesus, as I said, he didn't answer the question, but what he did do when they said, how can he give us his flesh to eat? He insisted, even if they don't understand it, he insisted that it must be so. Listen to him. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. That's an extraordinary thing to say. You do not have life within you? Meaning, the difference between life and death is whether we receive the Eucharist or don't? Yes, because it's the same with natural food. If we don't eat, we die. Try a couple of days without eating, and you'll know what, you'll get pretty darn hungry. And if you don't eat after a couple of days, you'll die. Well, in the spiritual life, it's even more critical that we eat, that we receive the life of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. You do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Not just natural life, not just earthly life, eternal life. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Can't make it any clearer than that. How else can he say it? It's real, true. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, talking about the manna, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Jews lived on manna for 40 years. It kept them alive through their whole journey in the desert. We heard that in the first reading, all the scorpions and the parched earth. That was a terrible place to be, but they survived because they had bread from heaven, manna. And Jesus points out, but they still died. They still died, even though they had bread from heaven. The point of this feast, Corpus Christi, is that we have a bread from heaven that is much greater than the manna. This is the food that gives us life forever. Life forever. This food is Jesus himself, his own body and blood. He is with us, hidden under the appearances of bread and wine, and he is offering himself to us as holy communion for our whole journey through life into glory. So on this feast day, we give thanks and praise to the Lord for the extraordinary gift of the Eucharist.